Be quiet till we get the special diet.
Get going.
We won't be quiet till we get the special diet. We won't be quiet till we get the special diet.
Miss Sarah, I'm from OCAP. Thank you for coming today. And our first speaker is going to be Gaetan from OCAP.
I just want to remind people why OCAP and many other groups across the city and across Ontario began this campaign some 6-7 months ago. As many of you know, and many of you in this room actually have had to try and survive for the last decade, unable to feed your kids and pay the rent. That has been a reality for poor people in our communities and many, many poor people in other communities across Toronto. And one of the ideas that came up was this notion that there was a special diet out there. And the more we talk to people, the more we find out that a lot of the big problem was that people didn't have doctors. It was hard to get these things signed. Hardly anybody knew about it. So as a result of that, we began to organize with community health centers, with people in our communities. We gathered, and we began to have clinics. And just to get you a sense of how this thing has snowballed, we heard just lately through news reports that over the last 4 months or so through these clinics, an extra 4,000 people have been able to access this special diet to get a full entitlement for their kids. Many of them families with kids. It adds up to something like $1.4 million roughly. We have, for the first time, at Dundas and Sherbourne, in Parkdale, Etobicoke, Jane and Finch, pockets of areas in Guelph, Hamilton, Kitchener, poor people who receive relief, who for years and years have struggled trying to survive, have suffered, have watched their children go hungry, and have seen now relief. We know of families whose income has doubled as a result of these clinics. And we're here today because the response of the city, which I assume has a commitment to child poverty, to child hunger, to make sure that people have enough to eat, their response to this is not to say to OCAP or to the community centers, let us give you resources. Let us give you doctors and nurses to come to those centers to fill out those forms so people have enough to eat. That should be Mayor Miller's response. That should be the city's response. That should be McGuinty's response. None of them, not one single politician bothered to go to those families after they received that income to ask them what difference it made. Not one. Instead, what we have right now is a bureaucracy trying to stop this process, trying to create barriers so that people can't collect this income, so they can't feed their children. Originally, we called the meeting because we were told a couple of major changes that registered nurses would not be able to sign anymore, and that everyone who had been through our clinics, and actually everyone who had received, was receiving the special diet, we're told that they were supposed to go through a whole process now, a review. They would be cut off, reapply, new forms. So we organized a meeting, and we planned this meeting today. And on Friday, we get a letter saying they're backing off. Yay. But they're backing off. But now we're hearing that they have a new form, a new process that people will have to go through that will make it almost impossible for people to get the special diet. So our question is to today, I think my understanding is that we're going to go over to Metro Hall to get these new forms, to get a real reading in terms of what is it they want now. But really, today, what we really want to know is you want people not to have this income. You are concerned about the children. What is your answer? What is your answer, Mayor Miller? To those hundreds of children that are about to be cut off if these policies go through. To those families, to those men and women at Dundas and Sherbourne, who I see every day now walking, who are getting this extra, what is your answer to them after 10 years? What is it? How will they feed themselves? What is your answer? If your answer is this, then we will fight you on this. Because we know we can't wait anymore. And I know right now, I know people at Dundas and Sherbourne who are living, and some of them are our own members. And you can see the difference in the way, in their standard of life and how they live. That they can finally have enough money by the end of the month to eat. So today it's clear that it's not the province taking the initiative right now to say that people can't have this money. It's the city. And we want to know, what is the city's commitment to people's hunger? The fact we can't feed our children, we can't feed our families. And that's the answer we want today. Because right now all we're getting is a bureaucracy. And if it's the barriers don't meet, then we want to fight that. We want to make sure that people, you tell your friends, we want to fight this. We want people to have enough to eat. I'll stop there.
Thank you. It's no matter where you come from. It's no matter what language do you speak. This is Canada. And they always go to our government telling them what to do. What about here? Remember, don't be afraid. The only way we're getting to get like today, this is a victory. But don't forget, we have to continue to fight getting all those people, 70, 60,000 people in welfare and disability, to have the opportunity, that's the right to get the diet. It's not human being can survive without to have a good diet, without having housing, a proper housing. Like always remember, we have to fight back, we're going to fight back, and I can tell Mr. Miller, I have so many questions to him, to ask, are you going to be compromised to send those people who work in welfare and disability to treat us with dignity? To keep, this is, we don't ask a favor. Remember, this is not a favor. This country has to compromise with the people, and we have to remember that. Thank you very much, and this is a victory. And anybody, anybody who wanna join OCAP, we are here to help and to continue our fight. And we will never get tired because we're going to get, the only way we're going to get where it ours is by organizers. Because politicians, they don't hear what they condition. When they come to ask for a vote, they offer everything. But they're not going to give us what we need. We're going to get, because this is our right. Remember that. Get organized, and stand up, fight back, and we're going to get what is our right. Thank you very much.
Kathy Hartle, who's a registered nurse practitioner with Regent Park Community Health Center and has been really very helpful in this campaign, is also going to say a couple words. So most of you know I'm a community nurse, and I've been working with low-income people for the past 17 years. And basically what I've been doing for 17 years is looking after health problems that are caused by poverty. Diabetes that is out of control because people have to use food banks. Anemia caused by not having enough access to iron-rich food. HIV infection, which rapidly progresses to full-blown AIDS because my clients do not have one single thing in their lives that they can do to protect their immune system. And depression and anxiety that comes from this constant, unrelenting, overwhelming stress of always being worried about money and not being able to feed your kids. Now, if I was to give somebody advice about how to be healthy, the one thing that I would say to people is if you want to be healthy, do not be poor. And do not have poor parents. But of course, that is not within people's control. And I think it is rather ironic to be here today at the City of Toronto confronting City Hall about its changes to the special diet allowance, because the primary source of referrals to me around the special diet is City of Toronto staff. So my number one source of referrals for the special diet assessment is City of Toronto welfare workers, who sit in their offices face-to-face with poor families who cannot feed their children and realize that people need that money. Another source of referrals is City of Toronto public health nurses, who send to me destitute pregnant women with their children who do not have enough to eat. And people will remember that back in February, the City of Toronto made a bylaw that made it illegal to sleep outside on the square. And it said, we're going to house all those homeless people that were sleeping in Nathan Phillips Square. And so you may find it ironic to know that the City of Toronto housing workers refer people to me to get the special diet allowance because people cannot get housed without it because there is no affordable housing in this city. So
people can't live somewhere and eat at the same time. So I think that it's important that we're here today. I think that there are some compassionate frontline workers at the City of Toronto. Obviously, the flood of referrals that come to me from them is testimony to that. But I think that we have a city bureaucracy that can be very cruel and is seeking to limit access to the special diet and will try to restrict it at every turn. And we have to watch that, we have to monitor that, we have to stand up and fight back if they try to take that money away.
So our ability to force the city to back down on this these new policy changes is a victory. It's clearly the city's been forced to cower because of public pressure. It's not a situation where they made a little mistake and all of a sudden reversed it. They went out, they told every single welfare worker and every single office that they needed to crack down on people asking for the special diet, that they needed to force people to use these new forms, that they needed to only allow people to go to doctors, and they were forced to reverse that policy in its entirety. So that is a victory that we should be celebrating and recognizing our power in creating. But the city continues to play dirty, underhanded tricks with people around their special diets. We have a bunch of circumstances today that we're going to be going to client services around. Now, client services is the head of welfare for the City of Toronto. Okay, so they oversee all the individual welfare offices. And we still have, in particular offices that are particularly bad, Wilson Road, Etobicoke North, Etobicoke South, stand out in particular, not that they're alone, but stand out as welfare offices where repeatedly we have workers lying to people, refusing to give them forms, having people bring in applications and refusing to even stamp them, recognize them as having been brought in, and turning people away at the door, telling people all sorts of lies. We had a woman who was told that there is a limit in the amount of money that she could get for herself and her five children, which is a complete lie, which the worker knows is a lie, and client services refuse to correct this problem because they're looking for ways to stop people from getting the money that they need. Okay? So today we're going to be going down to client services to say, look, number one, here's the individual cases where you're still putting these dirty tricks on them. We know about them, we're confronting you, we want you to fix them today, on the spot. We're united. We're not going to let people slip through the cracks and be subject to these dirty little underhanded tricks. And we know there are still rumors floating around about how else you're going to try to restrict the special diet and make it difficult for people to get. Or instances where people applied 1 month ago for the special diet and are being told, because we have a new piece of paper, you have to go back to your doctor again and get it refilled out on a new piece of paper, or we're not going to keep on giving you that money. They know damn well that somebody's medical conditions, their lack of food, does not change in 1 month from seeing a doctor. They also know damn well that people do not have adequate access to doctors, that a lot of doctors are not willing to sit down and do forms again and again and again. And we've had many instances where a doctor who has originally prescribed the special diet gets very frustrated and angry because they're not poor people. They don't have to understand the issues. They don't have to have a sense of what it's like to not have enough money to feed yourself or to be wondering when an eviction notice is going to come in the mail. And they don't necessarily have the patience to deal with that situation. And social services is playing on that because they know that it will create a barrier to people getting the money that they need. So we're going down to client services. We're going to march down there to Queen and John, and we're going to go inside and we're going to say, you meet with us now. You deal with these situations now. You recognize that people are united now. And we're also setting another meeting, because the City of Toronto is not going to allow us to be distracted from the main goal, and that's of raising welfare rates. There is no way you should have to go to a doctor or a nurse practitioner or a midwife or a dietitian to tell you that you don't have enough to live on. We got people coming to us who have $5, $10 after they pay their rent and they have kids to feed. You don't need to be a medical practitioner or some kind of medical professional to know there is no way in hell that you can eat nutritionally. And if you don't have medical problems right now, you're gonna have them in the future, because there's no way that you can sustain yourself properly. We've had situations, I want to tell one little story before we break. We had a situation, one of the women who went to our clinics, who has signed up for the special diet, herself and her kids. She gets the new form, they say, too bad, you've got to go get this filled out with a doctor. You have to do it now or you're going to lose it. We don't care if you got seen 2 months ago. She goes to her doctor. The doctor had the nerve to go to this small 5-year-old child, pinched her on the arm like this, and said, you see this? That's fat. You don't need a special diet. And then to the mother, who's fairly overweight, and largely, a lot of poor people are overweight, and it has a hell of a lot to do with eating pasta and crappy food all the time. And he has the audacity to say, she might not be as heavy as you are, but there's no way that you guys need the special diet. That's the kind of ignorance that we're forced to deal with. People do not have enough money to eat, and we're gonna force this province to raise welfare rates by releasing that full $250 to everyone on welfare. Let people know that there is a number of other allied supporters here today, including Ken Wood, who's a representative from the Daily Bread Food Bank. We have medical practitioners, and health promotion workers who've come out today to support. And we also have a lawyer who's been very sympathetic around this issue and does a lot of work around welfare rights and welfare issues as well. So thank you for coming too.
Brothers and sisters, I won't keep you too long. I understand we've got work to do down in Metro Hall, talking to some of the people in charge of the bureaucracy here. But I want to point out to you that the Canadian Auto Workers issued a release in May. That's some time ago, before this issue broke the way it did last week, saying that publicly that this special diet supplement had to be extended to all people on social assistance and Ontario Disability Support Plan. And I have the press release. It's on our website. Anybody can go to the Canadian Auto Workers website and see this. And I want to address the issue of legitimacy here. You know, there's some talk that somehow there's some kind of conspiracy here amongst activist groups and social agencies to some finagle of money for people that don't deserve it, and this whole process is somehow illegitimate. I want to say to you that I represent a national union. I'm speaking for a national union with 250,000 members in this country. I want to say this, that when our members are entitled to a benefit, whether it be workers' compensation, or a pension, or unemployment insurance, or welfare, because sometimes our members need that, or a disability, our union runs workshops and educationals. I work in the education department of my union, and I'm proud of the fact that I've written courses on how members can access benefits. Because without education, workers would not know of those benefits. So I say to you that an anti-poverty organization that is doing this work, doing what has been happening over the last couple of months, is it's doing exactly what an anti-poverty organization, what a community organization, or what a union would do in similar circumstances. So bravo to you people that have been organizing. Bravo to the organizers. Bravo to them. And they have our support. last week, myself, and we called the mayor's office, and we called the city councilors, and we called the labor council, and we called people to change this from happening. And if we had one small part in it, I'm not taking too much credit, obviously, because the heavy lifting has been done by other people here. But if we had one little bit to do with it, then so be it. I'm very happy about that. So let's continue the struggle, brothers and sisters. Thank you very much.
So we know what you want. You're going to have to leave. So hold on. Do you have a spokesperson here?
Well, what we'd like is Heather McVickers to come out and speak to all of us. We all want answers about the special diet, and we want them now.
First of all, I have enough.
What we want, number one, is for you to fix all the cases where people are legally
That's
entitled
That's not what I'm asking
to.
You. Who is your spokesperson?
She's acting as a spokesperson right now.
My name's Sue. Okay. But number two is we're not merely dealing with individual people. We're also dealing with a policy issue.
Yeah.
And so in terms of a policy issue, we want to have somebody in a position of power from client services address that policy issue clearly to everybody here who has a vested interest in it.
Okay, what do we do? We are seeing individual clients, and that's all we can deal with. Is individual clients
came from you guys. We want you to come out here and address the people who are going to be affected by this.
Individual clients, one at a time.
It's bigger than that. You've made it bigger than that. You've made it bigger than that.
Exactly.
No, we have.
You changed the policy.
You need to address what the actual policy is. You need to give it to us in writing, and you need to address rumors around forcing people to have a medical release of information regarding their special diet.
Which is why I think you need to have two, three, or five people meet with somebody.
That's the issue.
We won't be quiet till we get the special diet. We won't be quiet till we get the special diet. We won't be quiet till we get the special diet.
Everyone of us here, all together, most of us here are going to be facing this, what the new special diet policy is. Client services would like to do it the hard way. They want to see every single person who's going to be dealing with any kind of policy change. So anybody who's on welfare right now, individually to explain the policy change. So if they wish to do that and people here want to hear what the policy change is, so we know how to proceed, so we know how to keep getting the special diet, we can go through one by one, every single one of us here who's on welfare, who's getting the special diet, and have them explain directly to us what it is and what it is to our families. They decided they wanted to address it one by one. If they choose to do that, that's the hard way. And we can't decide to do that.
We won't be quiet till we get our special diet. We won't be quiet till we get our special diet. We won't be quiet till we get our special diet. We won't be quiet till we get our special diet. We won't be quiet till we get our special diet. We won't be quiet till we get our special diet. We won't be quiet till we get our special diet.
I think there's a couple of things that are really quite clear today. Number one is, I don't think they have a special diet policy in writing. I think that they're going by the seat of their pants and trying to figure out ways that they can figure out to deny people this money. They don't know what they're saying. They're not saying anything clearly. You have one bureaucrat saying, well, you have to confirm that you have a medical condition, which it says on the form. You have your medical practitioner sign beside something that says, yes, they do have a medical condition. And you have the other bureaucrat saying, well, you have to sign a special medical release of information so that we can talk to this person about all your medical history as much as we want, and then presumably have some kind of medical assessment where I don't know where their social workers went to med school, but I thought that a doctor, a nurse practitioner was supposed to be the expert who's supposed to be able to say what it is that you need for your health and your well-being.
Isn't starvation a medical?
And the other thing, I think it's clear that they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed and they're afraid. They're embarrassed because they know damn well that what they're doing right now is just bumbling around trying to find a way to deny people the money that they need, whether it's legal, whether it's illegal, whether it's completely shady or not.
And I think, too, they're afraid. I think they're very afraid to come out here and talk to a big room of people who are extremely angry, who stand on the verge of losing major money that we all need for people's families. So ultimately, I mean, if they don't come out today, I think the message is very clear. They have no right to people's personal medical information. They have no right to reassess people 1 month after they've already been assessed by a medical practitioner and try to take their money away from them. And I think it's also really clear that we're united and that people are going to fight them every single time they try to play these dirty tricks.
And we've called them on that. We've come to client services. We've challenged them. And that's been defeated. And now they come down to this pathetic attempt to say that there has to be a medical condition. Well, since people who don't know anything about medicine have chosen to wade into the field, I'll put my money's worth in there as well. And let me just make this point. As I understand things, and I've only thumbed through Grey's Anatomy, I don't know a great deal about the subject, but as I understand things, if you look at my body, for example, not the finest representative of the thing, but there you are, if you look at my body, you will see that what it needs a number of things, and one of the things it needs is food, you see? You see? In order to be healthy, you have to put food in your system. Now, there is something called the Canada Food Guide. And that spells out exactly the amount of food that a human body needs in order to be healthy. And there's something in Toronto that was adopted by city council called the Food Charter that says that there's supposed to be a commitment in this city to ensure that every person has adequate and nutritious food. If you don't get enough to eat, you are sick. It's called being malnourished. And that is a medical condition. And if a medical practitioner looks at what you can afford, and then says, I think you are nutritionally deprived, that is a legitimate medical diagnosis. Yeah. You see, it's the same as if you go to your doctor and you say, I haven't slept for 7 nights. The doctor doesn't say, well, what specifically has happened to your liver? The doctor says, my God, you're facing an incredible stress. I'm going to give you something to deal with a situation. So what we have to prescribe is a special diet and call me in the morning. Because that's the situation. It's a very, very simple one. There is a medical need. Now, some people, I wouldn't want to name anybody, but I might think, for example, of Sue Ann Levy from the Toronto Star, Long may she rot. She has suggested that there is something inappropriate here. There is nothing inappropriate going on. If there is a loophole, so-called, it is a loophole that they have created. Because what they did was, over a period of 10 years, they allowed the welfare rates to decline in spending power by 40%. And every one of the 760,000 people on social assistance is nutritionally deprived and medically requires the special diet. And if we have medical science on our side, we also have the poor on our side, and we also have a lot of allies, and everyone is going to get the special diet, and Heather McVicker and all her lackeys are not going to stop that. Thank you very much.
We won't go away!